Delta II arrived at his struggling partner. He saw the warning in his eyes too late. The flash of silver came out of nowhere. One of the Triton's manipulator claws suddenly leaped forward and clamped down on Delta II's left thigh with crushing force. He tried to pull away, but the claw bore down. He screamed in pain, feeling a bone break. His eyes shot to the sub's cockpit. Peering through the reflection of the deck, Delta II could now see him, ensconced in the shadows of the Triton's interior. Michael Tollan was inside the sub, at the controls. "Bad idea," Delta II seethed, blocking out his pain and shouldering his machine gun. He aimed up and to the left at Tollan's chest, only 3 feet away on the other side of the sub's plexiglass dome. He pulled the trigger, and the gun roared. Wild with rage at having been tricked, Delta II held the trigger back until the last of his shells clattered to the deck and his gun clicked empty. Breathless, he dropped the weapon and glared at the shredded dome in front of him. "Dead!" the soldier hissed, straining to pull his leg from the clamp. As he twisted, the metal clamp severed his skin, opening a large gash. "Fuck!" He reached now for the Kryptalk on his belt. But as he raised it to his lips, a second robotic arm snapped open in front of him and lunged forward, clamping around his right arm. The Kryptalk fell to the deck. It was then that Delta II saw the ghost in the window before him, a pale visage leaning sideways and peering out through the unscathed edge of glass. Stunned, Delta II looked at the center of the dome and realized the bullets had not even come close to penetrating the thick shell. The dome was cratered with pockmarks. An instant later, the topside portal on the sub opened and Michael Tollan emerged. He looked shaky but unscathed. Climbing down the aluminum gangway, Tollan stepped onto the deck and eyed his sub's destroyed dome window. 10,000 pounds per square inch, Tollan said. Looks like you need a bigger gun. Inside the Hydro Lab, Rachel knew time was running out. She had heard the gunshots out on the deck and was praying that everything had happened exactly as Tollan had planned. She no longer cared who was behind the meteorite deception. The NASA administrator, Marjorie Tench, or the president himself, none of it mattered anymore. They will not get away with this. Whoever it is, the truth will be told. The wound on Rachel's arm had stopped bleeding, and the adrenaline coursing through her body had muted the pain and sharpened her focus. Finding a pen and paper, she scrawled a 2-line message. The words were blunt and awkward, but eloquence was not a luxury she had time for at the moment. She added the note to the incriminating stack of papers in her hand, the GPR printout. Images of Bithynius giganteus, photos and articles regarding oceanic chondrules, an electron microscan printout. The meteorite was a fake, and this was the proof. Rachel inserted the entire stack into the Hydro Lab's fax machine. Knowing only a few fax numbers by heart, she had limited choices, but she had already made up her mind who would be receiving these pages and her note. Holding her breath, she carefully typed in the person's fax number. She pressed send, praying she had chosen the recipient wisely. The fax machine beeped. Error, no dial tone. Rachel had expected this. The Goya's communications were still being jammed. She stood waiting and watching the machine, hoping it functioned like hers at home. Come on! After 5 seconds, the machine beeped again, redialing. Yes! Rachel watched the machine lock into an endless loop. Error, no dial tone. Redialing. Error, no dial tone. Redialing. Leaving the fax machine in search of a dial tone, Rachel dashed out of the Hydro Lab just as helicopter blades thundered overhead.